Good morning. Make sure my mic is on and functioning. Sound like it is. What a good-looking group y'all are. Y'all the best-looking people I've ever seen. Appreciate each one of you coming to the service. We're glad to have the visitors. Glad to have our visiting minister today, Brother Thomas, and we want him to make himself at home. We will be singing out of the Blue Book today, we call it, the Heavenly Highway Hymns. We want every voice on point and every voice in fetters while we do number 82. Number 82. Very good. All right. Turn back a few pages to number 37. Number 37.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Sister, it's good to have everybody here today. Appreciate the good songs and the playing of the piano today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We do our Easter, lunch and everything a week ahead. That way everybody can get together with their families. So we're having that after a while. I hope everybody has been looking forward to the day of fellowship that we have here at Murfreesboro Church. And we are glad that every one of you are here. If you did not bring anything, do not worry about it. The church is providing all the food today. Some of the ladies have brought in desserts and such, and that's always good. That's my favorite part, to be honest with you, and is all the desserts. But I hope everybody will look forward to service first. I think I picked on Colton earlier. I said, did you come prepared to eat? And he said, maybe I can eat a little bit. We all can eat, can't we, Colton? But it is a blessing that we can all enjoy just the fellowship. But I want us to get fed spiritually first is what I want us to do. That's the part that we need. As you can see, I don't need to eat the regular food that much, but I need the spiritual food. It's been a good week for me spiritually in that I've been among a bunch of preachers all week and serving, trying to serve the Lord and listening to good preaching all week. And it's been a true blessing to be among those people. When you're with God's people, and you might say, well, we get together on Sundays and Wednesdays. What else do we need? Try being in the house of the Lord for about a week, day and night. Now, we do that a little bit in a revival, you might say. But try coming in and just serving the Lord like that, and you'll get a little bit closer to the Lord every time. And when you get a little bit closer to the Lord, then the Spirit of God moves you, and you get even more blessings out of it. And it's been a blessing for me this week. Now, on the other hand, it's been kind of a hard week for us too. Brother Sam's mother passed away. I want us to continue to remember him in our prayers, he and his family. They were talking earlier, he and Brother Tom, and Tom brought back a good memory. The last time that Sister Mildred was able to be with us, she testified for us and talked about getting to go home. And the preacher that preached her funeral, that was his text, "I'm going home." And it was a good message that he brought. And if there was any loss, and I think Brother Sam made mention, there was some in his family that really needed to hear that. If you don't have a heavenly home to go to, I tell you what, you're in a terrible shape. You are. You need to get ready to go meet the Lord. This life here, you may think that it takes forever for the next week to get here. The older you get, the shorter those weeks get. The shorter those years get. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when you'll leave this land. And you better have a place to go that is with God. Because you're not going to like the place where you're going if you don't get saved. So do keep that in mind today in this service. And so, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, you need to get your heart right. I asked you to pray for Hope. She was very concerned the other night during our fellowship meeting. Just cried out unto the Lord, but she's still not satisfied. So y'all pray for my granddaughter, Hope. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in a little bit, but I may be getting a little bit ahead with these prayer requests. But I want you to remember those two things in particular, that the Lord will bless Brother Sam's family, and that Hope is no better than any of your children or anybody that's lost in your family, but she's mine. You know what I'm talking about. And so I've got a great concern for her soul. So y'all be prayerful for her. We're going to go on in to Children's Church at this time. Kids, let's go right over here on this side today. For our visitors, we have a little bit of time with our young kids. And just try to bring them all together and talk to them on their level is what we try to do. I'll be right with you, Luke. Okay, come on, Luke. Come on. Okay. Let me get settled down here, Mr. Luke. Luke's my buddy, in case you didn't notice. It's good to see all of y'all up here today. Thank you for coming up. Now, today is, by the calendar, a very special day as far as many Christians are concerned. I'm going to be honest with you, though. It's not a day that I really observe a lot. There's a lot of days that people kind of commemorate and say that they're really good. They're high days, I guess is what they call them as far as worship of God. There was a day when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. It was actually the last week of his life, but he came down to a day where that he needed to fulfill a prophecy that a man of God had made years before. And basically what it was that the Son of Man would come into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey is what it was, the colt of a donkey. Now, I'm going to talk about this story a little bit, but what happened, Jesus told his disciples, he said, you go into a city. He wasn't in Jerusalem yet. He was outside of Jerusalem. But he said, you go into the city, and you'll see a colt tied in front of a house with its mother. Now, he said, you walk up to that colt, and you untie him, he and his mama, and he said, you bring them to me. And he says, if anybody asks why you're untying this colt and this donkey, you just tell them the master has need of it. And I want you to understand this today. The Lord has need of every one of you today. But they went into the town, they got the donkey, and somebody asked him, said, what are you doing? They said, the master's got need. Well, they took him up to the top of Mount Olives, and there they put their clothes on top. I'm guessing their coats. They put it on the donkey's back, the coats now. And Jesus got up on the donkey, and he was going to ride into Jerusalem. Now, this colt had never been ridden before. How many of you has ever seen a rodeo? You ever seen a rodeo? None of you? Oh, my. They have what they call a bronc buster. And what it is, these guys gets on these horses that do not like being rode. And when they open the gate, the test is they've got to ride that horse for 10 seconds. And what that horse will do when they let him out of the gate is he'll run and he'll jump, he'll kick his hind legs up because he wants that cowboy off his back. He'll do everything he can to knock him off. He'll spin, he'll jump, he'll reach around and try to bite him, and donkeys will do the same thing, one that's never been ridden. But that donkey let Jesus ride him because Jesus was something special. And God let him know that he was special. But my favorite part of this story was he came off the Mount of Olives down towards Jerusalem, and the people started seeing Jesus coming. And they started crying out, Hosanna, King of the Jews. And they cut down branches. That went back to David and Solomon's day. And it was proclaiming that he was something special. And they cried out, he is the King of Kings, is what they did. And as he was doing this before all these people, you know, Jesus had a lot of people that was jealous of him. And they went up to Jesus when he got to town. He said, these people that are praising you and saying you're the Messiah and everything, you need to tell them to be quiet. Jesus looked at them. He said, if I tell them to be quiet, even the rocks that are around you, they'll start to cry out in praise of him. Now, we think that's kind of unusual, but God could cause even the very stones to praise the Lord today. But he's given you that privilege. See, all those people that saw Jesus come into Jerusalem, they had the privilege of praising God and the Son of God that day. And they called his name Jesus. They called him blessed. They called him the King of Kings. I hope every one of you will do that today. Okay, I've got one other thing. That's my story today. Whenever that we have a new member, and one of my new members is up here today, aren't you, Sarah? You're not the last one to be baptized, but you're one of the last, right? We give you a Bible, and I'm trying to get this thing out of here, and it's not coming. Should have got it out earlier. I want to present to you today, if I get it out, your Bible. This is yours. It's got your name on it. Bless your heart, Sarah. Thank you for being a member of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. I'll let all of you go. Here you go, Sarah. Here's your cover for it. Ready to go, Luke? Go ahead, Luke. Thankful for all of our children. For some of them that's been saved and joined the church, I'm particularly thankful for. But for those that are unsaved, I look forward to the day that I get to hear them say they're saved. And I look forward to the day I get to baptize them. And then I look forward to being blessed by getting to give them a Bible of their very own. And I hope she loves that. Good to see each and every one of you today. Thankful for the opportunity. Today we have Brother Cody Thomas. This is being the fifth Sunday, and the church had set aside for our visiting preachers to come on our fifth Sundays. Brother Cody is from Macon County, Tennessee. He's a member of Macon Missionary Baptist Church. It is the parent church of Macon Christian Academy. And if you saw my post this past week, well, I mentioned it first of all last week that they had one of the students that had gotten saved just a few weeks ago. His mother passed away. And the kids, I heard the teacher talking about it the other day. He said the kids wanted to go down to the church to pray for the young boy, because his mother had passed away. I think she was 47-year-old. And they went down to the church, and they started to pray. But then they started testifying. Then they started singing. Some of them went and talked to the ones that were not saved. And I think they, from what I understood, two or three that was bowed and praying. But I think it was a freshman girl got saved. Now, the other good news came in later. That boy's daddy got saved the other day, too. Young people, you have a great ability to lead people to the Lord, too. I once watched one of those kids last night. She just, she'd been hard-hearted and just got saved a year or so ago, but she was doing the work of the Lord last night, and I think she graduated maybe last year, or this, I think she graduates this year. And so just be prayerful for them kids. Now, let me get back to Cody. I need to get back on that. Cody will be preaching for us today. He's a good young preacher from that church. And I believe you're going to enjoy what the Lord brings through him today. So be prayerful for him. Is there any other prayer request from everyone today? I want you to remember Brother Lowell Davenport. He fell in his bathroom the other day and is not able. I'll just say it this way. They're probably going to put him in a home to where that he can get physical therapy for a while, and they're hoping to build him up. But do remember him and Sister Barbara today. Please remember them. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Lord help. Lord help. Lord help. Let's pray for Sister Carla's mother and that she'll be strengthened in these sicknesses. Somebody else. Lord help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Let's do remember this request for Sister Kendra's friend whose husband just passed away. Let's remember this family. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. I'm going to ask you to pray for Brother Cody especially today. And let's just ask the Lord to come and be in our service today, that it'll be what the Lord would have it to be today in this service. Let's pray for one another today. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray that we'll love one another as God would have us to do today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And we just ask that you continue to pray as God would have you to pray. Whether it's out loud or quietly, you just pray is what I'll ask you to do. Brother Tim Ventries, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's continue to sing. Turn to number 241. 241.
Thank you.
back and do number 300. Number 300. Y'all been practicing, I can tell. Last number, Thomas, let's do number 278. 78.
Thank you.
Thankful for Brother Sam leading the singing this morning, Sister Carolyn playing. Thankful for everyone that came up to the choir to sing. And we're thankful for all that you've done as far as singing and praying this far in the service. I want to, one of the things I failed to do today is thank our visitors for coming today. We are glad that y'all have come out to be with us today. And I just hope and pray that God gives you a good blessing for visiting with us today here at Murfreesboro Church. Brother Cody's brought his family with him, and we are glad to have them with us today also. As I said a while ago, Brother Cody is from Macon Missionary Baptist Church up in Lafayette, Tennessee, and he preaches regularly. He's constantly going. He goes to Arkansas and preaches at a little church out there, along with several other places that the Lord has given him a burden to go to, and we're glad to have him with us today. I'll let him tell the rest of the stuff about him if he wants to tell that, but we're glad to have my good friend, Brother Cody Thomas, with us today. Be prayerful for him. Bless you, Brother Cody. Love you.
I'd just like to say first that I'm thankful to be here another day. I'm thankful for another day that the Lord has given us. And I'm thankful for another day to be in His house and to worship Him this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. This is not something that I'm used to this morning. I'm used to there in Lafayette, most of our churches, we're smaller churches, and most of the places I go, we're out in Arkansas where Brother Ricky was talking about. It's pretty much just one family hanging on to that church anymore. But nevertheless, wherever there may be a few gathered in the Lord's name, we can worship with Him. It don't matter if it's two, it don't matter if it's 250. It's all the same. I do have it on my heart to tell y'all, I believe it's a customary that everywhere I go for the first time, I tell a little bit about myself, and I believe it's, for y'all here at the church, it's something that y'all need to hear also. I'll start, but I wasn't always raised in this way. I was raised in a different faith, for the first probably 17, 18 years of my life, I was raised as a Church of Christ. And I never got dunked under the water or never whatever that they do there, and never really understood why. But it wasn't until sometime in high school I met this girl. And as I like to say, she started dragging me to church with her. And we went and... one night, we went to a revival there. It was where I'm a member at now, but it was before when it was still a mission. They was having an effort meeting there. And that night, one of my good brothers, I don't know if y'all may know him or not, Brother Wes Pettigo, was coming to preach that night. And I grew up around Wes, known him for a long time, and I thought, you know, I can go and I can hear him. Well, I went that night, and the Lord let me know that night where I stood with him, and it wasn't in a good place. And I'm ashamed to tell it today, as much as I ever have been, that I walked out the doors that night with that on my heart. And I struggled with that for a couple few years. And it wasn't till one night, and it was when when that girl that had drugged me to church, I ended up marrying her, and then she told me that she was pregnant with her first child. And that night I was laying in my bed and I had all this worry and all this sorrow on me. And I didn't know what it was. And I laid there and I just did what God told me to do, was start praying. And when I started praying, God let me know what it was that I needed to be praying for. And there wasn't, I don't know how long it was. I laid there in my bed and I cried and I prayed and I cried and I prayed. And I finally opened my eyes and it was all gone. And I had that peace to come within me. And I didn't want to do nothing that night but roll over and tell that girl all about it. But Satan, he come in very quick. He said, wait till tomorrow. Don't wake her up. You can wait. Tomorrow turned into about 4 or 5 more years before I ever told it. And I finally joined there, the church there at Macon. And it wasn't very long after, we was at the association, the Siloam Association meeting. We was at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. We was sitting there in the service that day, and Brother Ron Spurgeon, if y'all may know him or not, he stood up and he told about his calling to preach way back when. And I was sitting over there at the time and on the other side of the building thinking, Lord, I hope that don't happen to me. Well, we got out in the car that day. We was fixing to get ready to leave, and it was me and Brother Chris, my pastor, Brother Wayne Deering, and my father-in-law. We was all getting back in the car, and Brother Wayne, he made a statement. He said, well, since we're all here this year, and since our names is all on the docket, we may get picked to do a lesson next year. And Brother Chris, he said, no, he said, that's just for the preachers. I tell you, my big mouth spoke up. And I said, yeah, there's only 2 of them in this car. And as clear as day, the Lord said, no, there's 3. We've been trying to preach now. That was in 2021. We've been trying to preach now for 4 or 5 years. I believe this has been going on the 5th year that we've been trying to preach. And as Brother Ricky mentioned, we've been around several different places. I've been in Arkansas. I've been to Kentucky. I've been in Indiana, Illinois, just about anywhere they will allow me to come and preach. I try to go and follow the Lord. And I want to say that I'm thankful to be here today. You know, we had a good week this past week. I plan on getting into this here in just a few moments of time if the Lord allows. But I have this on my heart. You know, we had a good week, as Brother Ricky was talking about there on Tuesday, and then on Thursday when that boy's daddy got saved. On Sunday, last Sunday at our church, though, we had what we call around Lafayette a good old-fashioned throwdown. We had singing, we had testifying, we had no preaching type service. We ended up with 2 being saved last Sunday. And then we had all these other things that Brother Ricky was talking about. You know, and I mentioned to my pastor, I said, you know, just a few weeks ago we had revival there at our church. And I said, you know, I think we might have had revival on the wrong week this week. And then it wasn't long later, he told me that girl had got saved. And I said, maybe the Lord's showing us he don't need us for revival. And I believe that's the moral of the story, that he don't need us at all. He wants to use us. He wants us. But he don't need us. But I'm thankful to be here today and to be serving the Lord. I do have a burden this morning. You know, I have a burden this morning for those that may be lost and separated from God. And I want to go ahead and say, you know, it's something that I say quite often. It's something that most preachers will say quite often. If you feel that condemnation, that convicting power of the Lord, it doesn't matter if I'm still up here preaching. It doesn't matter. You don't have to wait for that last song. If the Lord's telling you to come to this bench right here, if He's telling you to pray in your seat, wherever it may be, you come to Him whenever He's calling unto you. There is nothing more important in this life than being saved by the grace of God. That is the one and the only thing that you can take into eternity. And there's only one of 2 places that your soul is going to go. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. There's no in between. There's nothing else. There's no gray area. It's heaven or it's hell. It's an eternity with God or it's an eternity without God. So So I beg of you this morning, if you find yourself lost, and it ain't nothing of my doing, it ain't nothing of my preaching, it's all of the Lord. If you feel that this morning, I beg of you to come to Him. I was going to apologize to Brother Ricky with a thought that the Lord has placed upon me this morning. But you know, it's funny how the Lord does work. I do think sometimes. It's a thought that I had this morning. He sat over here and he talked about to the children. We'll start here in the book of Zechariah in chapter 9. We find several different times in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the Bible. We find several different times of prophecies of the coming Messiah. We find most of the Old Testament, we go and we look at the Torah, what they call it, or the law. We find that most of that, almost every bit of that, 99.9 to 100% of the Torah, it points to Jesus. And then we find the prophets and the judges and all of those different things. All of this is pointing to Jesus. What I like to describe this Bible as sometimes, we find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is Jesus in the flesh. We find the Old Testament when we look at it, and it's all pointing toward the Messiah. They didn't know who it was. They didn't know what His name was going to be at the time, but they was pointing to the future, pointing to this Messiah that was to come. And then we look past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's all pointing back at Him. That's what this Bible is. And that's the way that our life should be. We should be centered around Jesus Christ. Because there is not one better in this world, not one man that ever stepped upon this earth that's better than a man named Jesus Christ. We'll start in Zechariah in chapter 9. We'll read one verse here in verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." My thought this morning is what we'll find here in this verse in three words: "Thy King cometh." Amen. You know, we've talked about this man Jesus Christ, and we call Him a King. And I'm here to tell you today, He was more than just a King. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is our High Priest. He is everything that we could not be. It says He is just and having salvation. We find what in the Greek, Jesus' name, and then listen, I don't know Greek and don't know Hebrew that well. I'm going to mispronounce this probably very bad. But Jesus' name in Greek was Iesus. And in the Hebrew, it would have sounded sort of like Yeshua. And what the word, the name Yeshua meant was Jehovah is salvation. And He was lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. You know, Jesus, He could have came in a lot different way. I believe that the people of Israel at the time, they wanted Him to come in a lot different way than what He came. He could have came in on a chariot of fire. He could have came in riding on the most magnificent horse that you've ever seen. But He chose the humble way. The humility that you've seen in Christ. Jesus wasn't just a man. I believe that Jesus was both 100% God and 100% man. He left everything that He had in heaven to bind Himself down to earth, to come down to us, for the one sole reason was to die for our sins. He come down to earth and bound himself to man so that we may be saved, so that we may go to that place that he has prepared for us. What a king he is. Israel wanted a lot different king. They wanted a king to come and to rule over Israel and to make them into a mighty nation and to make them just destroy pretty much the rest of the world. And at the time, it was Rome was their enemy. And they wanted somebody to come and just to be a conqueror of the nations for them. And Jesus wasn't what they wanted. But it was what they needed. If you'll go with me before I get ahead of myself, we'll go to the book of Matthew in chapter 21. And I know this may be a very holiday message today of the days, the week that is coming up, but it is what the Lord has placed upon our heart this morning. We'll start in chapter 21 in verse 1. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were coming to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you. Straightway ye shall find an ass tied in the colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet of Zechariah, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass." I want us to look there for a minute, the donkey. I know Brother Ricky, he talked about with the children there for a little bit of a time about this donkey. You know what a donkey was used for in this time? Was a burden bearer. A donkey was a beast of burden. Can we just imagine for a minute the burden that this donkey was bearing? Jesus had the weight of the sins of each and every one of us. He had the sins of from all the way to Adam, from all the way to the last person that enters into this earth. He had all of them sins weighed down upon him, burdened upon him, and he was sitting upon this donkey. Can we just imagine for a minute the burden that this donkey was carrying? It wasn't just carrying a regular man. This donkey was carrying a king. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the coat and put on them their clothes. And they sat thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You know, I said Israel, they didn't want what Jesus was. They wanted something a lot different. I do believe with everything in me there was many different leaders inside of Israel. We find in the book of John where Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus, and he said, "We know who thou art." I believe they knew exactly who Jesus was, but they didn't want him. What did they do to him? What did they do to our King, our Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords? What did they do unto him? They nailed him to the cross. You know, and that's a bad thing to think about. We look at the cross today, and we look at, I believe the people of Rome there, they come up with the most cruel and unusual form of punishment that man has ever endured. You know, they would. I don't believe most of the time that they would nail them to the cross. They just tied them to the cross. But they stood them there, and it was for a reason. They hung them up before the world there And usually they put on there what they was being hung on this cross for. And they partake them so that the world may see. And they may know if you did this same thing, that this is where you're going to end up too. But they took Jesus in a lot different manner. They didn't just take and just hang him on the cross. They took and they scourged him. They took and they tied these bones and whatnot into this whip that they fashioned. And they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. And they took, you know, most of the time in the law, in the Torah, it was 40 lashes that a man could take. I believe they went more than 40 on Jesus. I believe by the time they was done, they had tore the skin off his back so bad that you could probably see his internal organs. And they took and they beat him. They took turns laying hands upon him, pulling the beard, I believe, from his face. And they beat him so bad that I believe he was unrecognizable to any one of us and to anybody at that time. And then they took and they placed that crown of thorns upon his head. And it wasn't just what we see, briars and thorns around here. These thorns, they would have been a lot longer. And they didn't just gently place it upon his head. They took it and they pressed it into his head. This was a lot more form of cruel and unusual punishment. But it was something that had to happen. I know it's bad to say that today, but this had to happen, that Jesus' blood had to be shed. Our King's blood, the King that cometh, that the Scriptures is talking about here, had to be shed for the salvation of us. It had to be shed for our sins. And they took and they nailed him to the cross, and they would have put those nails somewhere around his wrist, I do believe, and hung him upon that cross, hung him between heaven and the earth. You know, and there's a song, me and my pastor was talking about it here just the other day. There's a song that's in many song books, it may be in y'all's, I didn't look. But it says, victory was won at Calvary. Amen. And it's a beautiful song, and I love the song. Victory wasn't won completely at Calvary. They crucified many upon a cross. And they could continue to crucify many upon a cross in the same way they did Jesus. But had he not raised on that third day, had that tomb not been empty, it would have been for nothing. You know, there's many different speculations of what that Jesus did in those 3 days. A lot of us might want to tell us that he came and that he preached unto those in prison and in hell. Don't believe that one bit. I believe what Jesus did in those 3 days was he took that precious blood that was shed and he took it up to God and presented it unto him. And he sprinkled it on that altar there in heaven. And he did those things for me and for you today. He did those so that we may have salvation. He did this so that we may be able to spend an eternity with him. You know, many people talk about what we're going to do in heaven, what we're going to see, what we're going to witness. But I tell you, the greatest thing on me that I can think of that's in heaven is this man named Jesus. I want to do nothing but lay my crown when I get there down at his feet and sing praises unto him. Shout loud, Hosanna. Righteous is the King. But I want to tell you today, this King has already come. He's already come to this world one time. This is the first time that he come. And there's going to be a second time that he comes. We'll read here in the book of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Listen to this verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. There is going to come a day when this man named Jesus is going to come back. He's done come to this earth once. He come riding on a donkey. He delivered himself unto Jerusalem riding upon this donkey. And there's going to come a day when that eastern sky rolls back as the clouds roll back as a scroll, and he is going to come to this earth. I don't believe he's going to step foot on this earth ever again. But he is going to come back, and he is going to receive us unto him. And this world will be no more. I don't care what any other theology, what any other else anybody says. There's no such thing as it's going to be 1,000 years after he comes back. There's not going to be no 1,000-year reign or anything like that. When Jesus comes back, when the King comes back to receive his bride, it is over and it is done. Amen. There will be no more chance to be saved. There will be no more chance for you if you're lost and separated from God. Once that he comes back, there will be no more opportunity. You know, our life, and I don't know how long this will be. I'm not claiming to know when he's coming back. I don't believe that no man knows but God himself when Jesus is going to come back. I believe that the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, he preached on the last days. I believe that Peter, he thought for 100% fact and for confidence, he thought that Jesus would return in his lifetime. And I'm telling you today, church, you look upon this world, you see the things going on, you see all the sins that are happening, how just bad it's getting, how cruel it's getting out in this world. I promise you, we're getting a lot closer than we would like to think. We're getting a lot closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you today, lost sinner, there won't be much more time. Whether you live to see Jesus come back or whether you don't, this body on this earth, this flesh, it ain't going to last a lifetime. It ain't going to last forever. You know, we never do, don't we? I don't say this as a scare tactic or something to try to convince you. I say this because I love you. We are going to die. This flesh will return to the dirt of the earth from where it came from, one way or another, whether Jesus comes back or whether we die before then. And I'm thankful to know that night in my bed, I got that ticket. I got that peace in my heart to know that when the Lord comes back, he breaks through that sky and I'm going with him. This flesh, I'll lay this body down and he has created for me a new body. Before I get ahead of myself again, we'll go to the book of John in chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. What made the disciples there fully believe? What made Peter and John there fully believe? When they looked upon this, they looked upon this empty tomb, and what it would have been a more of a cave. The way that they traditionally did, burials back then was they had the tomb. And they would have a table, it would be like a cave. They had a table over here on the side where they would take and they wrap the body and put all the preservatives, well, not really preservatives, but smelly things on them to keep them from stinking. And they took and they would lay their body there upon that table. And they would wait for a certain allotted amount of time. I don't know how long it was, but they would wait for this allotted amount of time. And they had these limestone boxes. Once that the flesh and everything was gone, and they would take the bones and they would put them in these boxes. What made them believe when they walked in and they seen the empty tomb? You know, I think a lot of the times I heard a man say, you know, there's some that want to say that Jesus took and rolled that stone away. I don't believe he had nothing to do with it. What was the reason that the stone was rolled away? It was a sign for the unbelieving Jew. It was so that they could look upon this tomb, they could look and see that our Savior has risen. But what was it that Peter and John saw that made them believe? It was a little old napkin that they took and they would have placed upon his face. You know, many times I go to a restaurant and I've done it and I never really even thought about it. You know, as we go and we eat at a restaurant and I get done and my plate, there may still be food on it. A lot of times there's probably not. But we look upon this plate and I would take my napkin that I'm finished. When I'm finished, I'll take my napkin and I'll clean my hands and my mouth. I'll wad it up and I'll lay it down in that plate. And that is a sign to the server that I'm done. A lot of the times back in the traditions of the Jewish people, when it was a king or whatever, what they would do is if they got up to go to the bathroom, use the bathroom, or got up to go take care of some business or whatever it is that they did, they would take that napkin and they would fold it neatly and they would place it beside the plate. They didn't place it there on the plate. They, pay attention, they placed it to the side. And that was to let the servant know, I am coming back. I am not finished. I am coming back. That's what I believe that Peter and John saw as they looked up in this tomb, they looked up in his grave, and they seen separately laying was the napkin from the linen cloth. They seen the napkin laying over on the side, folded neatly. And that was a sign to them. They knew exactly what it meant. When Jesus took and he folded that up, it meant that I am coming back. And I want to tell you today, lost soul, as I've mentioned before, he will come back. He is coming back. The king came there in what I read in Matthew 21, and the king will come again. Couple more verses of scriptures and I believe I'll be done. This is a book a lot of times older preachers have told us that we probably need to stay out of and not get into a lot. But we'll find three verses here in the book of Revelations in chapter 22. I just want to read three verses. They're set three separate verses. Verse 7, this is Jesus doing the talking here. Notice these words are in red. It says, Behold, I come quickly. In verse 12, he also says, behold, I come quickly. And in verse 20, surely I come quickly. We know not the day, we know not the hour of when Jesus will come back, but it's going to be sudden. Bible talks about it as a thief in the night, that Jesus will return and he will come back. And the most important thing today is that we know about this man named Jesus. And not only that we know about this man named Jesus. You know, I preached there at the school with all them kids a while back, and I asked them a question. I said, how many of us know about the man named Jesus? There's 140 kids, probably 130 in this school, in this church house. Just about every single one of them raised their hand. I said, there's a difference, though. There's a difference in knowing here in our head than knowing here in our hearts. You may not understand that today, but I hope that one day you do. I hope that one day you understand what it means to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Because that's the one and only thing that really matters upon this earth. There's nothing else that we can take into eternity. You know, a lot of the times the Egyptians and a lot of other old time traditions, they would take swords and they would take jewels and precious metals and everything so that they could take these things into the afterlife with them. We can't take nothing other than our salvation and our testimony. That is the one and only thing that this we can take unto eternity with us. What is the one and only sin? We talked about Jesus dying there on the cross and rising on the third day and saving, and that blood being covering for all the sins. I believe there's one sin that blood did not cover, and that is the sin of unbelief. That's all it takes. We find in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas talking to this man, and he come trembling. And I don't believe that he was trembling because of the earthquake and the jailhouse falling down around him. He was trembling because the condemnation of God had come unto him. And he asked them one simple question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What was their answer? Was it to go and be baptized? Was it to go and be dunked under the water? Was it to go and say something to this man? Was it to go and fill out this thing with that preacher? Mm-mm. It was believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the King that cometh. I thank you today, church, for allowing us to be here. I hope somebody got something out of this. Most of all, I pray for those that are lost and that may become lost and separated. I hope that you find salvation before it's too late.
Bless you. Appreciate the good message today. He took this week that we celebrate and he went from cover to cover, didn't he? And a little bit past it, didn't he? Thankful for the good message today. It was one of blessing to me to remember our King. And the last couple of verses that he used was, I come quickly. And what that quickly means, when you're not expecting it, is what he's meaning. And so, if you're not saved today, I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep that in mind. The Lord may come when you least expect it. And I believe that's what it means. When you least expect Him to come, He will come. So while we stand and sing today, I want us to, for those that are unsaved today, I want to give you the opportunity to seek God. It's a good time. As He said earlier, You don't have to be here at that bench. I hope you've done been praying, because that king is coming. And he is the king of all kings. If you think the president of the United States is powerful, maybe you think the prime minister of England or somewhere else is the most powerful man in the world. He's not the most powerful. Our Lord and King is the most powerful there is. And you better be prepared to meet him. While we stand and sing, I want Brother Cody to come down here also. But if you want to seek the Lord, you come and you seek him. We're going to give an opportunity for everybody just to have a little bit of time of fellowship one with another. I want you to come around and shake hands with Brother Cody if you desire to. If you loved his message and what he stood for today, tell him. It's good to give encouragement to a man of God from time to time. We thank you for being here. But while we stand and sing, sinner friend, the most important thing for you is to get ready to meet the Lord today. While we stand and sing, Brother Cody, if you will come down in front.
195.